Romans chapter 8, we begin reading in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Father, thank you for the reading of your word, and I pray you would lead and guide in our thinking as we expound the word, that it would be for the praise and the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise. Amen. Be seated if you would, please. And with your Bible still open to Romans chapter 8, I call your attention to verses 14 and 19, where believers are referred to as the sons of God. Now, in other places in Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things in heaven and in earth. And three things that he created are called the sons of God. And this refers to a direct creation from the hand of God. Angels are a direct creation from the hand of God, and they're called the sons of God in Job 1:6 and Job 2:1. Adam was a direct creation from the hand of God, and he's called the son of God in Luke 3:38. Believers are a direct creation from the hand of God. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And here in Romans 8, 14 and 19, believers are called the sons of God. We have the name of the one that created us. He is the eternal Son of God, and we as believers have the life of the eternal God. But notice also in verses 16, 17, and 21 that believers are called the children of God. And this puts our emphasis on the birth into the family of God. Our Lord said, you must be born again. And when we were born into God's family, we became sons of God. Now, when we use the term sons of God, we're talking about our position and responsibility in the family of God. And when we use the term children, we're talking about being born into the family of God. And the very moment we were born into God's family, we became sons of God. I want to think for a little while this morning on the subject of the sons of God. And there are three things that ought to cause us to be thankful to God. First of all, notice that in verses 14 and following, that the sons of God have the Holy Spirit. Look at that little conjunction for in verse 14, pointing us back to the previous verses. And in verse 9, we're told, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. And we that have the Holy Spirit, we are first of all led by the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 14. He says that we are led by the Holy Spirit. In the previous verses, back in verse 1, believers walking in Christ and led by the Spirit are not condemned. In verses 2 through 4, that believers led by the Spirit, we are in a conflict day by day, the flesh lusting against the Spirit and a Spirit against the flesh. And notice back up in verses 2 and 3 that Spirit-led believers are not under the law. We don't need a set of do's and don'ts to govern our life. Beloved, we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so we, as the sons of God, are to be led by the Spirit of God. But not only we that have the Holy Spirit, not only are to we be led by the Spirit of God, notice that in verse 15, we have the Spirit of adoption. And adoption means son placing. We are not adopted into God's family. We are born into God's family. And once we're born into God's family, beloved, notice that in verse 15, we don't have to live in fear. Oh, we have a heavenly Father. I had a great earthly father and mother. They've gone to be with the Lord. And oftentimes when I was disobedient, my father would whip me, but he never once disowned me. We don't have to worry about being kicked out of God's family. We don't have to live in fear in verse 15. Also, as we're led by the Spirit and we have these privileges in God's family in verse 15, we have the privilege of calling Him Father. The reason we call Him Father is because He fathered us of His own will, begat He us with the Word of Truth. And then, not only are we led by the Spirit and have privileges in God's family, notice that in verse 16, we have the witness of the Spirit. In verse 16, the Spirit Himself, the Spirit is a person, the Holy Spirit, and He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children and the sons of God. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness within himself. Oh, beloved, we as believers are sons and children of God. And we're to be led by the Spirit, and we have the spirit of adoption, and we also have the witness of the Spirit. That ought to cause us to be thankful. You, I'm sure many of you are from good Christian homes, and beloved, you ought to be thankful every day that you have good Christian parents. But beloved, we ought to be thankful every day that we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us as believers. But the second thing that I want to emphasize, not only do the sons of God have the Holy Spirit, in verse 17, the sons of God are heirs with Jesus Christ. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ and other believers. Now, as we think about being an heir with Jesus Christ, I read in Hebrews 1 and verse 2 that Jesus Christ has been appointed heir of all things. And that is exciting. And since we are heirs with Jesus Christ, we need to find out what we are going to inherit. Look in verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Jesus Christ has inherited two things, suffering and glory. And we as believers, first of all, inherit his suffering. You recall that Paul was told on the road to Damascus that God said to him, I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You recall that Paul wrote to the believers at Philippi and he said, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his name's sake. You recall that Paul told a young man by the name of Timothy, he said, yea, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Our Lord said in John 15:20, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And so we inherit his suffering. But in verse 17, in the future we'll inherit his glory. Jesus Christ has been glorified at the right hand of the Father, exalted, given the name which is above every name, that is the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And after we suffer a while, 1 Peter 5:10 tells us, after we suffer a while, that we will be glorified also. And that brings me to a third heading. Not only as sons of God do we have the Holy Spirit, and not only as sons of God are we heirs with Jesus Christ, we inherit his suffering and we will inherit his glory. But notice beginning in verse 18 that the sons of God will have a glorious future. And as we think about this glorious future, notice that in verse 18, Paul, a southerner, he said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the what? Glory, which shall be revealed in us. Beloved, when our Lord returns, his glory will be revealed in us. Colossians 1:27, Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Notice that in verse 18, that this suffering is for the present time, and his glory is eternal. You recall that in 2 Corinthians 4, in verses 17 and 18, that the Apostle Paul said that the sufferings of this life will seem like a moment compared to the glory of eternity. And it is a light affliction compared to the glory. And so his glory, in verse 18, will be revealed in us. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3 and verse 4. And in 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe. Now notice in verse 19 that creation is eagerly awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for us to be unveiled as we return with the Lord Jesus back to this earth again. Now, as we think about a glorious future, notice not only are we going to have a glorified or a glorious body, but notice in verse 21 that we're going to live on a glorified or a glorious earth. Verse 21, the creation will be delivered from the bondage to glorious liberty. We're all aware that the earth at the present is under the bondage of sin, but in verse 21, the earth will be gloriously liberated. The curse is going to be removed, the nature of animals is going to be changed, and there won't be any more war, won't be any more poverty or any sickness, and so forth, and it will be a glorious earth. But notice in verse 19 that the creation is like the saints. We are waiting for our redemption, and the creation is waiting to be redeemed. In verse 22, the creation is having birth pangs at the present. And we're familiar with Matthew 24, when we hear of wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, and so forth. We know that this is the birth pains. And beloved, these birth pains are getting closer together every day that we live. And beloved, that tells us that the earth is getting ready to be redeemed. With the second coming of Christ after the millennial kingdom, this old earth is going to be burned up, and then in eternity we will have a new heaven and a new earth. Now, as we are thinking about our glorious future, not only are we going to be in a glorified body and live on a glorious earth, but notice in verses 23 through 25 that we are going to have a glorious adoption. Now in verse 14, we read that we're already sons and we already have privileges in God's family, but our glorious adoption is still in the future, when we'll be placed in a high position forever and ever. Paul said in Ephesians 2, 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his goodness and his grace toward us through Christ Jesus, his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. In verse 23, we are waiting for the adoption to wit or bring about the redemption of our bodies. Beloved, that was God's plan from the very beginning. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, we're thinking about that glorious adoption. In verse 23, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. And the first fruits tells us there's going to be a glorious harvest that is going to take place. In Ephesians 1, 14, we have the earnest of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, 30, we are sealed with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, until the day of redemption. And our salvation is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit that is in us, and that is the guarantee that our glorious adoption is going to take place, because we have already received the first fruits of the Spirit. And some of the first fruits are regeneration, forgiveness, acceptance, and etc. But in verses 24 and 25, the best is yet to come. In Romans 13 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And so we that have the first fruits of the Spirit can expect a glorious harvest, if you please. In 1 John chapter 3, we hear the Apostle John say, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Young people, I encourage you to keep yourself pure and live for the Lord, because the coming of the Lord draws nigh, and it could be today. We never know. And verse 24, we are saved by hope, and we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in verse 25, we're to be waiting patiently for the redemption of our bodies. It is a great privilege to be called the sons of God. All outside the Lord Jesus Christ are not the sons or the children of God. They are the children of the devil. John 8:44, and to get out of the devil's family and into God's family, we must be born anew. Now, in coming to a close, let me just mention to you that we have been talking about the privilege of being sons of God in the family of God and having a position and responsibility in God's family. But we want to remember, beloved, that this is all by the grace of God. Not anything that we have done to deserve this. It is all of grace. And as we think about this, let me just encourage you to think about what our attitude ought to be as sons of God. Let me encourage you, do not have a haughty spirit, if you please. Instead of being haughty, we as believers ought to be humble before God, because it's all by His mercy and by His grace. When we think about our position in God's family, beloved, we ought to have the attitude of that prodigal son. The prodigal son said, I'm not worthy to be thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And beloved, we are not worthy. And beloved, every day we ought to have the attitude, not only that prodigal son, but we ought to have the attitude of the songwriter when he said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Father, thank you for your love and your goodness and your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you for ABC and all of the faculty and staff and students and friends, and for all of the blessings that you pour out upon us from day to day. We're not worthy. We just give you praise. We pray in your holy and precious name. Amen.